in the IC industry. We can't be beat.
They-
Analytics, data's the key. Unlocking insights, setting you free. Cybersecurity, we your shield, protecting your info. It's a big deal.
We're live.
All right. We're live.
For some reason, I could hear you guys during that intro, so we'll figure that out.
Awesome. Just laughing.
All good. All right. Well, welcome all three of us to our first Pulse Check podcast.
So for those of you that haven't seen us before or know who we are, I figured we kind of do a quick intro on who we are and then we'll kind of dive into the meat of today's conversation, if that works for you guys.
That works
Sounds
for me.
Good.
All right. Well, I'll get us kicked off. So I'm Steve Velarde. I am a senior sales engineer. So I've been a, I guess, sales engineer for probably a good part of 5 years, and then been in the IT industry for another 10 in various roles. Consulting, VMware, NetApp, Microsoft, you know, really a little bit of everything. So, yeah, happy to have you guys listening in. And thank you, Dennis and Kirk, for joining us today on episode one.
Nice. Kirk, would you like to go next?
Sure. Why not? Thanks for having me, man. This is fun. I'm excited. But my name's Kirk Simon, also sales engineer. If you probably learned that we all kind of work together.
So. We may all be sales engineers.
We may all be. But yeah, also a sales engineer. Been in the field for about 15 years, half of that as a SE, as you'll hear us reference later on, and probably for the preceding episodes. Yeah, my background's in infrastructure primarily, so I was a data center guy before I transitioned over. Focus a lot on network and systems, you know, and today kind of still focusing on the same stuff, right? Glad to be here. Excited.
Awesome.
I guess I'll go. I am the juniorist of the SEs. I am surprised I'm also an SE. I've in the industry itself, I'm old. It's been about 23 some odd years. Working in technology, system administration, NOC management, et cetera, and became an SE not too recently, 2.5 years or some odd ago. Father of four, and that comes into play later. We'll talk about why.
Yeah. Probably should mention my children.
Nah.
Yeah, I got children. They keep me up at night.
Yeah. And again, thank you, Steve, for putting this all together. I'm really looking forward to not only talking about the history of what we've done and you know, how it's impacted what we do and all the technologies and different things we do, but really learning from you guys as well about stuff you've done in the role and previous roles. So this is going to be fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you both. Just for folks listening in, right? This was kind of a idea we had thrown around for a little bit, right? Just trying to get some of us together to really just chat about, you know, things that we see in the industry, trends and stuff like that, and more of an open format discussion. So you'll kind of see as we do future episodes and things like that, we'll start to bring in some other, you know, pieces of technology, other guests and stuff like that to come shed some insight and experience on what they do. So if you have any recommendations or things like that, definitely feel free to drop us a line. But that brings us to today's first episode theme, which I tried to do a spin on Terminator. Come with me if you want to keep your job, right? So I was trying to terrible pun, didn't really work out too well. But really, I wanted to take a minute with all the stuff going on with AI and not just in the IT industry, but just in the world in general. Talk about implications, talk about the evolution of it, and just kind of see what everybody's thoughts are on, you know, is it something that is an ethical concern, not just in the jobs that we do, but also for other folks out there, right? Content creators, artists, things like that. So one of the things I wanted to bring up, unless anybody has something they want to throw out there to begin with, I had a couple articles I figured we could kind of kick us off with.
Sure. Yeah, let's start
down. Let's go.
All right. Let me go ahead and pop on over to... Cool. So I brought this one up from Reuters. It's an interesting article, and I'm going to kind of move my screen around a little bit. So essentially, OpenAI and Microsoft are getting sued for infringement of training using News Corporation material, right? So articles that are written to train their models. And then on the flip side, you also have, and I'll switch to this one as well, really right next to each other, Google paying $6 million to News Corps to use their content to train their AI models, right? So you kind of have these two sides of the fence where you know, Google's kind of paying to play in terms of recognizing the content that's being created versus, you know, Microsoft and OpenAI being, you know, you have the whole Copilot thing and stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? The ethical concerns that people have around using other content creators' content in the means of making AI better. And I thought that was kind of a cool contrasting set of articles to kick us off with. But
it's interesting, right? It because is. you have someone who's blazing a trail, right? Mm-hmm. Who's, I mean, they got more money than whatever, right? So they're blazing a trail of use us. Come on, feed me. Let's go take what we have, whatever. And you got the other companies who, well, I mean, they don't have the same traction. They don't have the same feed of people going to them to look for things. No paywalls, no whatever else they're doing that they're like, don't touch. We're just trying to maintain. They're going to be left behind when all is said and done, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. And I agree with that 100%. I think it's interesting that Google decided to, like, hey, man, I'll pay you, right? And I think that'll probably be the, like, method going forward, right? Because, you know, yep. money solves a lot of problems. All problems for the most part, yeah. right? So, yeah, I think that's like super interesting, actually, for, you know, them putting money out there saying, hey, we're going to use this to train our model, and probably setting the standard going forward.
Yeah.
Right. But, man, I love AI, to be honest with you, man.
Like, I have mixed feelings about it, to be so, honest with you.
I'll say this. I think it's really cool, you know, being in the industry as long as I've been in it, right? So I've always been jazzed up about technology, right? So, you know,
oh, yeah.
Any gadget, any tech will get me, you know, jazzed up. And I'm like, hey, you ever heard of this, right? But what I've learned is whenever the masses, the general public gets excited about technology, that's very interesting to me, right? I think it's really cool to see how many quote unquote non-technical people are like leveraging AI and like making it a part of their daily practice. And
oh, yeah.
like, mm-hmm. like people are generating content on the end. Like they're, I know people who are doing complete marketing and business campaigns 100% because of AI said, hey, do this. Right. So I think it's super, super cool to see technology revolutionize everyone's daily lives. Right. Stuff like that. I'm like, wow. Okay. That's really impactful, right? But at the same time, it makes me super nervous, right?
That's the part where I'm like on the fence about it, right? Because if actually, and we were talking about this before, the podcast logo, the intro that we made, the music mm-hmm. that goes along with it, the background image, all of that was AI generated. I didn't do anything, right? So like that part of it, I think is super awesome, right? But then I think like to the other side of the fence where it's like, as this stuff gets better and better, off of other people's work, right? Yeah. Is that going to negatively affect the people that made it what it is? And that's the part where I don't know where I fall, because right now it doesn't affect me as a contributor, right? Yeah. To where the things that I do are being replaced by AI. Yeah, there's like GitHub Copilot, and there's, you know, ChatGPT can give me like sales navigator advice. But like mm-hmm. the way it stands right now, the value that I provide as far as a person in the place of work, right, can't really be AI duplicated at the moment. So at like moment, I think this right. stuff is like fantastic. I'm like mm-hmm. you, right? I'll install the next beta, whatever comes out, give me it. But then at the same time, if I go talk to like my friend or somebody that's, you know, an artist or a musician, you know, they have more of a negative, you know, affliction to AI because, right, it is at the, you know, entry point in what we do that, you know, we have the ability to generate entire albums of music mm-hmm. in a matter of, you know, 5-10 minutes off of other people's work. So that's where I'm kind of like, I don't know where I fall. I think based on how it's used or what it's used for, I think there'll be a lot more regulations that come into play for that kind of stuff.
There definitely, really,
yeah.
Yeah, there'll definitely be a lot of regulations coming. I think it has to. I think that's inevitable. But what I find interesting is, and I had this conversation with someone recently, as much as we're afraid of it, as much as we like it, as much as we hate it, and that was where the father of four came in. My kids are aspiring artists, and they hate AI and all the different things it does because their future, you know, fame as being an artist is in danger. So, but you kind of liken it to, no matter what we think, it really doesn't matter, right? You start liking it to Industrial Revolution, or you got the assembly line when it comes to cars, right? You're building a car. It used to be you had people at every spot on that line with their drills, and they were, you know, rivets, and they were doing all the things.
Yep.
Then you got robotics in, and you got automation, and next thing you know, they're, you know, letting people go. And so it was an inevitable movement for the industry to be able to fully automate those. And now you do have the vast majority of that stuff is automated. We're seeing the same things with AI, right? Whether we like it or not, it is 100% moving forward. And we kind of have to get on board. But to your point earlier, we talk about art, you talk about writers. I think that we just had recently, you had the strike, right? What was that for? Writers, especially that we don't have any rights to it. We need to maintain rights to what we're writing and residuals associated with, because tomorrow you may AI generate the entire storyline. You may audio all that, right? And if I could transition to one quick thing, because I know we want to make sure we stay to time. We talk about, if you guys have ever heard of, I'm sure, hopefully I'm saying his name right, Marquise Brownlee.
Yes.
The guy who does all the reviews.
I love that guy.
Love that guy. His reviews, I haven't sit through a video of his and gone, no, that's wrong. It's just never happened, right? But he had said something that struck with me, and I'm going to share my screen.
Yeah, you want me to throw you up?
Yeah. He had said, AI is as bad as it's going to be right now.
I know where you're going with this one.
You know where I'm going, right? And you can see this, what I have here. This is where we were just over a year ago. This was an AI-generated Will Smith video eating spaghetti. This is where we were a little over a year ago. And I'll share my other tab here. This is where we are now.
Yeah.
That is a huge, and I did that, a huge change from, and now I got an ad. That's how it's going to work.
That ad looks fabulous. That's all AI-generated.
But right, the... going from this to fully Sora AI generated videos. And this is the worst that technology is going to be right now, is all the different Sora based AI generation that we have. It's only going to get better. It's only going to get stronger. Like, oh, now I stopped sharing altogether. You know, I'm okay. Just going to break everything for you.
It's all good.
So,
we got you back.
Yeah. It's only going to get better, and it's going to get better very, very quickly. So you have to learn how to work with AI, whether we like it or not. And to your point of regulations, that's going to have to be part of it.
Yeah. And that's kind of where the whole pun with the come with me if you want to keep your job, right? I feel like AI is one of those things, like especially in the IT industry, if we think back to like when virtualization was like a thing, everyone like, no, physical servers are going to be here to stay. I love my data center, right? And you had those folks that were very against virtualization, right? When ultimately they get left behind, right? And I feel like we're at a kind of a tipping point in IT where AI is that next thing, right? It's not going to solve every problem, but it is going to be a way that a majority of us either automate our workflows, how we handle troubleshooting, that I feel like you have to adopt it, right? I mean, either that or get left behind.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, you know, kind of torn. Like I agree. It's a great technology and a great tool to be able to leverage. And I leverage it every single day. I just feel like right now it's the Wild West in terms of what is practical and, you know, what is ethically flawed, right? You know, the whole GitHub using everybody's code to be able to sell Copilot, right? That falls back to like, I make it akin to like now where you have to accept cookies on websites because people are using it to sell your data, right? Yeah. They're selling your, you know, your being, right? Your ability to generate code, your ability to write and draw. It's the same thing in my mindset, which I don't think the laws have caught up to that degree.
And they will. And they will.
They will.
So, quick question. Do you think that it would make sense, like, you know, as, for instance, if I'm in ChatGPT typing on, hey, give me an example of XYZ, do you think it would be best if it, like, referenced where it kind of got all info this information from, right?
Is I that you were what we're kind of totally looking at? Area. I thought you were going to say it's going to pop up a tip window to tip the creator.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? I mean, like, giving us a way to kind of see where this information came from, which with the hopes that, hey, if this was helpful, you go check out that creator, the originator of, you know, where we built this off of or what have you.
I mean, that would be cool. I feel like it would be very difficult with the way, and I don't know enough about AI to be smart enough to answer that question, but, you know, I feel like the fact that it's using a multitude, right, of people's information or, you know, just different training data in general, it'd be very hard to say that it came from a specific, you know, individual or source. But I'd be very interested to see how, what safeguards or guardrails they put up to kind of alleviate those things. And to Dennis's point, it's gonna be quick, right? I mean, we've come a long way. I feel like just in the last like 3 months, it has come, you know, with Sora and some of the stuff that we've been doing internally with. I don't want to steal your Senna, thunder, but. It's so cool the different things that are coming out these days.
I think that's absolutely true. And it's interesting because twofold, which ties back into to Kirk's point, was I'm a Google guy. I've always been a Google guy. I got the Google phone. I do the Google things. I'm in the Google ecosystem.
You're a green text bubble. I see what happened.
I mean, but I don't Google anymore. I don't. Yeah. I opened AI. I ChatGPT as the first place I go to. Now, I'm not saying what I get back is accurate. I mean, they even got to the point now, if you look at GPT, I know in 3.5, probably also 4, it says ChatGPT can make mistakes. Consider checking important information. It's a little blurb they have at the bottom of every search. And it's true. Whether you're doing scripting or whatever you're doing, it's not going to be entirely accurate or up to date. However, it gives me a much better starting point to do my research than I do with my Google searches. Right now, my Google search is the first 5 are sponsored links. I have to scroll down just to find something that hopefully, I mean, how many times if doing a Google search have you gone to page 2?
Very rarely.
If you go to page 2, your search term was not the right one.
Exactly. Well,
if you're troubleshooting, sometimes you got to go into the weeds.
If you're grasping at straws, yes, you're in a couple of oogles down.
Right? So I think it's a matter of it gives me a much better starting point to use it. It's got to be like a 90-10 split now. I just don't Google anymore. Yeah. And it's just the way it's moving in AI.
Dang. So it sounds like you're moving into the future. I actually feel like I retreated. I feel like I'm using books and shit like more than ever nowadays.
It's like, what's he doing? He's checking the time. That's a sundial. Oh, yeah. Okay. He's really gone back.
Pass me that papyrus when you're done reading it.
What's with the abacus, Kurt? No, I think that's true with a lot of people. A lot of people... I mean, there's that one video that came out of the robot that was moving boxes from a conveyor belt to a shelf. That, I mean, it was just a display at like an event or something like that. And the robot fell over. And people lost their ever-loving mind saying, look, they're working robots to exhaustion. We need to understand this. I'm like, what? What's happening right now? This isn't like... iRobot here. This is, I don't know. People are really going the other direction.
It reminds me of that art piece. Have you ever seen it? Where it's the robot that sweeps its own oil back inside of itself to keep itself alive. Have you seen that?
No.
Let me see if I can find it. It's so cool. It's like an art exhibit somewhere, and it's one of those assembly line robots that are used for assembling cars. And basically, it has an open oil reservoir in the bottom, and every time it gathers its oil back, it just starts to come out. So it's constantly just surviving by pulling itself together. It's pretty cool. I'll try to grab the link when we go through this.
That's I actually see it now. I'm looking at the video of it. That's like the poster child for.
Oh, do you have it up on your screen?
I'm about to. It's going through my ad. But yeah, it's the poster child for Protect the Robots. Right. Yep. We can't have them work themselves into not being able to hold their own oil. Yeah. Let me share my. I don't know what even to make of that. Right. But if that's what people are doing, it's this one right here. There we go. I'm sharing it now.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is the one.
Yep. That's the one. So basically, it's just keeping itself alive. It's basically its only job.
So actually, then, if it doesn't do this, it doesn't have the oil to literally stay lubricated.
Correct.
An open system. Oh my gosh, that's wild!
Right, I saw that. It just made me think of it when you mentioned that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Wow,
it's crazy. There's just so much, and like, makes me think. Like, especially like, I have a small children. Like how far we've come since I was in school to now. Like I can't imagine like where in 15 years where things are going to be. It's got, it's going to be an entirely different ball game. Yeah. And it's interesting to see folks. Where we end up. That's the other part. Yeah.
I'm trying to stay up to date, man.
I'm starting to fall out of relevance with the kids. So yeah,
this is hurting me.
It starts with like social media platforms, though. If you think about it, yes. Like I just refuse to go to TikTok. I don't know.
I've never downloaded TikTok, and
I just uninstalled it.
I just refused to go to it, and then I realized that I was, everybody was on TikTok, and I just wasn't. I was like, I remember I had a conversation with myself. I'm like, this is the beginning. This is the beginning.
It's interesting because it's changed. It used to be. Old guys sitting around saying, get off my lawn. We're now saying, get off my phone. I just uninstalled TikTok. I was doom scrolling, whatever you call it.
Doom scrolling. Yeah.
It was horrible. And I lost it. I've uninstalled it. This is such an old person podcast all of a sudden. It was the same thing. I'm like, I have life back again. It was wild. I'm with you on that.
Last thing on TikTok. One of the reasons why I kind of never jived with it. Look at me using the word jive. Anyway,
old man.
I hated the fact that like people would send me links to TikTok, right, to see a video. Mm-hmm. I clicked the link, it would never take me to the video. It take me to a whole nother video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have to go back to the message, click it again, maybe two or three times to get to the actual video. And then to get out of the app, say, all right, I'm done watching the video. It just didn't want you to leave. It's like, press back again to leave this app. And I'm like, what's up? Like, I'm like,
they know exactly what's up.
Like, so I just felt like they're really forcing me every step of the way to stay in the platform. And I just wasn't.
That was my whole thing with Twitter, or X or whatever you want to call it. Like now you can't even look at a tweet without logging in. And I'm like, I don't care enough to log in. I'm sorry. I'll go find it somewhere else.
Yeah. And what's that really like predatory shopping one that's out there now that everybody does?
Temu.
Temu.
Yes. Right. Hey, I mean,
man, Super Bowl, they told us how to say it. Temu.
Temu.
They had a whole song. I was singing that thing for 2 weeks.
If they have enough money to afford a Super Bowl commercial ad,
that's six. That's six.
Yeah,
that's six. They played that same ad like 6 or 7 times. We did the math. They spent like $40 million.
That's crazy.
Just on ad time, I was like, damn.
Yeah, that's one app that's tough to get out of. I had to unsubscribe. I don't know how many times to get in the emails. You know. But whatever, it's there. But I will say this much. We talk about AI. You mentioned what's it going to be like in 15 years and stuff like that. I will say for sure, one thing I 100% know, if I had this level of AI when I was in school, I'd be an A student. I mean, I would have cheated through everything I had a chance to. Let's just call it what it is. And right now, if my kids do it, I'm like, how dare you? Don't even do that. But
like I remember we had the TI-83 calculator that you were able to put some stuff in a graph and save it for a test. And I was like, all right, I'm going to pass it.
Write some scripts.
Now it's
in
like,
there.
Write me an entire 3-page essay on, you know, topic X. Yeah. Make it sound like it's from a human. Here you go.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, it's Cliff's Notes. That's how I even survived high school. Was Cliff's Notes.
Now it's no longer needed, potentially.
Well, now they have software for the teachers to check if it was run through AI software.
So check this out. I heard there's AI platforms. So you generate an essay or paper, right? There's other platforms where you can run it through the platform.
Yeah, and I'll tell you.
And they kind of adjust anything that might get flagged.
Oh,
So it's nuts, dude. I'm like,
it's crazy.
Wow, they got
which just goes to show you, like, the ways that people are going to learn is going to change as well as part of that, right?
100%.
And I mean, even the YouTube generation, right? I mean, you think about how we learned versus how I learned as an adult, right? First thing I'm doing, if I got to fix a refrigerator, I'm going online searching it on YouTube and having some guy walk me through how to replace my ice tray. Right. Yep. Like it's just drastically different than how you would do it back then. And it's going to increasingly, and I think AI is going to play a big role in, you know, the chat bots and the support agents and all that stuff that comes along with it. I wonder what that's going to do to the workforce in terms of like the folks that have those types of roles. Is it going to ultimately move them to do other things? Is it going to eliminate those roles? Or how's that going to transform the dynamics of that? Because that's the part that I don't really understand what ultimately is going to happen, right? And that's, I think, where a lot of people's concerns come from.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like it's too early to tell, right? I feel like there has to be like a significant amount of trust in technology to kind of say, to forego, you know, individuals, right? So you're basically saying this tech can do this job, you know, 99.9, you know, whatever their SLAs are, 99.9% of the time correctly without error, right? There has to be a ton of trust. And I don't know, you know, there's other people like Elon Musk who say technology and robots are better than humans, right? But, you know, I don't necessarily believe that, man. I don't believe that. I think it'll take a while.
That's
based on how he names his kids. I can understand that.
I don't know. I kind of take another approach on it in that, again, looking back at what technology has done in the past, I think trust will wane. People will find their own need for it and go, oh, actually, that's kind of cool. And the people who don't trust it are usually the ones that end up, this is a horrible, horrible way to put it, aging out of the equation.
Yeah.
Right. It's
sure.
The kids coming up today are, this is it. This is what they know. This is, I mean, they're growing up in the generation of AI. And where, you know, for us, AI was in the 80s, our parents kicked us out and said, go play in the woods. We're locking the door until you come back. And this is where we developed our intelligence, was out in the woods, not like going on to ChatGPT and asking questions. I mean, I do that now. But I think it's going to move very, very, very quickly. I think in the next year, it's going to be a vastly different space. And AI is going to be that much more integrated to absolutely everything, whether it's a buzzword or actually integrated. And it's going to your point, Steve, it's going to replace jobs.
Yeah.
Inevitably, it already is starting. And I think.
So with that being said, what jobs do you see going out the window?
I mean, you'd have to assume, right? What's the low hanging fruit in terms of like
customer service reps?
Customer service, I mean, is a thing, right? It doesn't. I don't know if it replaces it, but it shifts a lot of the responsibility for, right? Because I mean, I've been in customer support. I think we all went through it in training, right? Mm-hmm. 90% of the questions you get are things that you could answer if somebody actually looked up the results, right? So like those kind of things are, I think, table stakes for kind of phasing out of a human being, the one responsible to give you that information. Where I think companies will shine is where they take that and leverage it, but then also allow them now to have maybe higher skilled engineers able to be on staff to handle much more complex problems because they offloaded, you know, the level one support. Right. Mm-hmm. And to Dennis's point, like, you know, either get with it or phase yourself out of the equation. I think that's where I think folks that level themselves up in that regard will still be okay and still be fine. Yeah.
I mean, we three of us, and this isn't the company we work for. I'm not saying it happened there. But when you go through training, it used to be you watch a video and, you know, Bob from IT walks into a room as an actor and he says, hey, you know, I need your password. Give me your password. And they, oh, here it is. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they go off and do their thing. All new training videos, they're AI generated. The audio is AI generated. Yeah. That's already happened in our everyday, but you know, basic things we see in training. Why would you pay a voice actor? And I'm not saying that the voice actor isn't, you know, deserving of a position or anything like that, but from a money perspective, from a corporation perspective, if they can just generate it on the fly with somebody who they already have employed, or they can hire a person, they're gonna take the cheaper route. It's the part of business. Is it good? No. Is it ethical? We gotta watch.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of ethical, if we kind of play devil's advocate here for a second, the other thing that I was starting to think about is like we're thinking of all the good use cases for AI, right?
True.
I feel like that's also going to open up. Right. AI SecOps or whatever you want to call it, where, know, how do you protect against that stuff? Because that's also right. Mm. Anything that's great ultimately becomes, you know, weaponized against others. Right. It's just how everything works in the world. And I wonder what that landscape's going to look like. Right. I mean, you talk about the Will Smith video, right, where now you got things like deepfakes out there that are able to pretty convincingly. Yeah. Right. Replicate someone's likeness on screen, where now you could take that and put a president on screen talking about some fake, you know, policy or politics that ultimately is kind of an act of like, you know, political warfare, right? I'm, you know, it's like the ebbs and flows. I feel like that kind of stuff is going to open up an entirely different market for folks, right? We build great things. People take them and do bad things, and then we have to build defenses against those things. It's just kind of the nature of, you know, the world. You know, like IT.
You're absolutely right.
I think that's a good advertisement for, hey, everybody, get into cybersecurity as fast as you can.
Yeah, who's the good AI? where am I putting my bitcoins?
Yeah, right. We'll call the blue team, red team, or is it a new color for the AI defenders?
Yeah,
horrifying team. No, you're absolutely right. And let's call humans what we are. We're reactionary. We always have been, we probably always will be. And to your point, somebody releases a video of some political figurehead or somebody who's very influential saying something, they're going to have a percentage of people who follow suit on that.
I mean, you're right, horrifying. I mean, you look at videos where people post that are obviously fake or doing it just to piss people off. There are people out there that are gullible enough not to understand that that is AI generated or that is a fictitious, you know, source of media. where that happens is where, you know, money's made to be made, right? You think about like,
and there's,
I think about like the scammers, right? The Microsoft scammers and all those, where it's like, I need my iTunes gift cards for, you know, purchase. But then you have the elderly folks that are like, here's a video I got texted of my grandson saying he's in trouble, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You're more likely to believe that. Did it?
Do you know that happened?
No, but no, you know, these, I can imagine.
Now, here it is. You just brought up something that actually happened several months ago. Is you ever see those apps they have that learn your voice so it can either sing a song, it can repeat it back?
Yeah.
They got a scenario where they recorded somebody's voice. It was a kid. And they only got so many words and so many things. And then they used that as a like a ransom. Like, call up, hey, we have your son. Here's him talking. And then they'll say, they'll play some audio back of the kid's voice done through AI. And they ended up getting a hold of the kid. They found out it was fake and it was all people trying to scam. But that's absolutely something that's not only happening today, that's been happening over several months now.
Yep.
I should really find that article and put it like
that's in interesting that it actually happened. I was just thinking about it this morning. I was like trying to come up with topics, obviously, for us to talk about. And that was one of the ones I was like, I wonder how people are going to weaponize this for nefarious purposes, right? Because anytime you can make money, you know, people are going to hop at a chance to do it.
Money is the number one motivator.
The root of all evil, right?
Good and bad. Right, yeah.
And sure enough, it's in the New Yorker.
Is it? Okay.
I don't want to share it because I don't know about the, you know, copywriting and showing, here's the guys, here, let's read this. But it's... Yeah, the New Yorker, March 7, 2024, a terrifying AI scam that uses your loved one's voice. And it talks about different scenarios where that's happened to people. And it's, again, going back to what Marquise Brownlee said, was this is the worst it's going to be. It's only going to get better. If you have a year or 2 years from now with all of the improvements from AI, it's going to be, you won't be able to discern between your kid's voice and some AI generated voice. And people will use it. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's like both. It's like terrifyingly exciting at the same time. It's like, I want to see where it goes, but I also like, you know, Skynet, the back of the mind.
Well, you mentioned that. That's where this conversation always will go.
Yeah,
is Skynet. Now let me ask you guys.
Two far ends of the spectrum, right?
It is. I want you guys to commit to an answer. I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Is Skynet the ultimate evolution of AI? IRL. We're talking about what we're going to do ethically, what we're going to do with safeguards, what we're going to do with technology, all the things. Do you think in some form or another, it doesn't have to be, you know, Schwarzenegger's coming back in a metal suit, but is this inevitably moving towards something of a technology takeover of sorts?
I can certainly see that, right? Because hopefully history has taught us to learn our lesson over time and time again, right? But we always fail to learn our lesson.
Kirk and I, right? Yeah, I know.
But you think back to like, you know, World War II and the atom bomb and like all these things that like transpire where we were able to use technology to figure out how to solve conflict or attempt to solve conflict. You know, AI is one of those things, right? Cybersecurity and, you know, political actors and things like that in terms of leveraging this stuff as part of, you know, technological warfare. I could see that stuff where AI can somehow get into, you know, systems that power nuclear power plants, right? And start to do things just like, you know, ransomware would. You know, that's, I think the ultimate evolution of that stuff is inevitable. Will it end up being robots able to self-replicate and ultimately figure out time travel? I don't know. It'll go that far. But like when you think about worst case scenario, right, having AI have the ability to tap into, you know, infrastructure within, you know, a nuclear power plant or, you know, places where, you know, electrical grids, that is certainly feasible, right? I mean, that's certainly a plausible, I guess, future. But I'd be curious. It really depends on how it's developed and what safeguards we end up actually putting in place to prevent stuff like that. But, I mean, I feel like we're at the very beginning of that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a number of years before we see where that actually takes us.
Yeah. You're right. You know what? Stage one is upon us, right? The self-learning.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. But now we're talking about remediation and creation automatic, right? Automatically. And yeah, we'll see.
Well, I mean, I don't
know.
Stay
tuned.
For episode 295 of the Pulse.
Back in my day, AI.
We're just replaced with robots.
Yeah. And just to wrap up the point there, like you talk about AI hacking power plants and stuff like that. That happened with an analog attack. That happened with somebody who got into a USB stick that was on somebody's laptop that got brought into it. And I mean, it actually happened several years ago, analog old school.
Yeah, like the sneaker net, right? You're talking about like the... Yeah. But you got to think about it. Like that is something that somebody plugs in and is told to execute some sort of code, right? Knows a weakness, knows some... But think about it, if that's not, it's not just a ransomware or some sort of virus, it's just AI that knows to go out and look at these systems figure out where it can insert itself and then inject some sort of ransomware. I mean, I've been playing around with ChatGPT. You can have ChatGPT pretty much create a virus of code, like a coded virus for you.
Sure you can.
And it will happily be like, here you go. Here's how you can create a zip bomb that explodes when somebody opens it. It will happily create that for you, but like having the ability to have something in, you know, a SCADA system or something that's offline and have that's it be able to think on the fly, I think it's much more powerful than like, I deployed something. I hope everything works because I don't have, it's like when you send something, you know, to space, right? It's like, all right, we sent the command. Let's see if it crashes into the moon. You know, like you have to like set it and hope that everything that you, you know, tested and validated works. Whereas at least there you have some sort of like safeguard that it can think on its own to maybe hopefully get around certain things.
That's true.
You know, that all depends on where, you know, where AI takes it.
Yeah. So with that being said, man, y'all think about transition to being like AI, ML scientists and engineers.
I don't think I'm smart enough to do that. I think I will be a AI connoisseur.
Never all in
probably
trouble.
Be where I fall in. But,
my question is, how smart do you have to be to do that?
I don't know. You know, that brings up a good, segue, right? When we think about AI, it's like a blanket term for like a million different things, right?
Yes.
You know, it's a buzzword, right? It's like the cloud, right? Everything's got in the cloud. You know, you have ML, which is like a subset of AI, which is more or less like models and data processing to come up with some sort of confidence level of a result. And then you have more generative AI, which is, you know, the ChatGPTs of the world. You know, I also wonder what other forms of AI are going to be revealed, right? Because we don't, you know, we're right in the beginning of this. Generative AI, like a year ago, like wasn't even a thing that people like knew a term for. You know, so I'm very curious to see what other forms of AI come out and how that evolves as well.
It's an interesting point you bring up too, because it's one of the things I saw was on a LinkedIn post, and somebody had put a comment in there, and I'm a little on it, a little off, but it said AI isn't going to replace people. People who refuse to use AI are going to be what's replaced. And to some extent, that's true. I mean, to some extent, sure, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. AI is just going to simply replace what you do. But I think using AI and understanding its influence and understanding how to use it, not necessarily understanding how it works on the, you know, the inner workings of it and how much GPUs and all these different things, but using it to further what you do, I think will carry you for like another 5-10 years. That might be pushing it. 10 years might be pushing it. Another 5 years. If you can really use AI, I mean, 10 years. I mean, you talk about the point to getting to a singularity and all these things. The amount of time it takes to advance is shrinking rapidly.
Yeah.
And we're in that now. But I think you need to understand AI. You need to learn how to use it in almost I don't want to say every job, and so many different jobs out there. certainly what we do.
Like, yeah, to your point, like, if you don't embrace it, you're going to get left behind. I mean, just like,
yeah,
it's what it is.
It's efficiency, right? So for folks that don't leverage it, you're kind of fighting an uphill battle at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all for it. I'm just very optimistic on where it will go and how long it will take for us to get to a point where it's like table stakes for a company, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And Skynet isn't going to happen. Is my
not opinion. Not for at least another 5 years.
Another 5. We can not revisit. At least 5.
We'll still be doing the podcast.
Yeah. But all good. Cool. Right. That was a great conversation there. I know we had a section that we were going to kind of go over some tools and stuff like that. I don't know. Did you want to go over Sunao at all, or we want to save that for another time?
We can. It's really up to you. I know we're 40 some odd minutes in, right in the middle of our runtime we were hoping for. We could certainly save that. I mean, I have some stuff on it, but we can absolutely save that for like a little AI segment.
No worries. Yeah. Well, so then I think we're good, guys. We'll kind of wrap things up. I do want to say, anybody that does watch, thank you for watching our first episode. Any feedback, comments, things like that, definitely drop a comment on our YouTube channel, right? We're Pulse Check Podcast. I'm going to try and get these out on, you know, Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. So definitely feel free to check us out, and we'll catch you next time for our next episode. So we'll try to do these probably maybe semi-monthly or something like that. I don't know.
Something.
Something. We'll keep you up to date. But we'll,
make
we'll
sure catch you like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. And we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, guys.
Take it easy, everybody.
We're plugged in, can you feel it? It news, we're gonna reveal it from the servers to the cloud. We're breaking it down, showing you how.